The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Chayisora. In the Parsha we have where Avraham sends Eliezer to find a wife for his son Yitzchok, Rivka, the daughter of Bethuel. And the Torah not only tells us the story, but it elaborates to the point where the Achachomim tell us, and Rashi brings us later, Omar Abacho, Yofes Yichosen Shal Abde Oves Lifnei Hamokum Miteirosen Shal Bonim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it more precious, the conversation of the Avdei Oves, of the servants of our forefathers, then Miteirosen Shal Bonim, then the Torah of the children. Shehrei Parsha Shal Eliezer Kfula B'Teira. After the Torah tells us in detail what took place, again it repeats the whole story when Eliezer repeated the story to Rivka's parents, and this is all written in the Torah. And meanwhile, when it comes to actual halachas, many dinim, many laws in the Torah, it's just through remiza. It's just through very subtle implications. Many times, many halachas can be learned out of one pasuk, one sentence, or even one word. So this is how dear the conversation of even the Avdei Oves, the servants of the forefathers, is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This Rashi brings later on in Pasuk Mem Beis. At any rate, we have the entire story here, and in detail and in elaboration. And this is the first time that the Torah tells us in detail about someone going to get married and getting married. So let's dwell this evening on various points in general and in particular in regards to Inyan HaZivug, in regards to marriage. Torah begins, the Avraham Zokein Boba Yomim. This is in Perichov Dalet Posuk Aleph. V'Hashem Berech es Avraham Bakol. Avraham was old, he was getting on in his days, and Hashem blessed Avraham with everything. Rashi brings, Bakol Eile Begematri Ben. If you add up the word kol, the numerical value, and if you add up the word ben, so they both come to 52. They both are an equal number. To tell us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avraham with everything, this meant with a ben, with a son. Umeyachev shohaya leben, and since he was blessed with a son, hayotzorach lahasiyo ish, so now he had to find a wife for him. And that's the introduction to this parsha, to this story. The word ben, the Manal Riprag brings, comes from the same word as binyan. The word binyan means to build. And a ben, through a son, you build. You build yourself, and you build the world. And this term we find also by a woman in the beginning of the Sefer Torah. And Parshas Bereishis Perek Beis, Pasuk Chof Beis, by the creation of woman, it states, Vayiven Hashem Elakim es Hatzelo Asher Lokach Mina Odom Leisha Vayivieha El Ha'odom. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu built from the rib, from the side which he took from Odom, the first man, he built a woman, and he brought her to man. So there also it uses the Vayiven, where he built. Actually, the Gemara goes into this. The Rashi also here goes into it. At any rate, we see that the same term is used by a woman. Binyan. To build. We have it in other places also. In Parashas Lech Lecho, what we just read recently, in Lech Lecho, Tes Zayin, Perek Tes Zayin, chapter Tes Zayin Beis. Sora did not have any children. And she decided that she'll give her Shivcho, she'll give her maidservant to Abraham. So the Torah tells us, Vatome Sarai el Avram. Sora said to Avram, Hineino Atzorani Hashem Miledes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has withheld from me birth. Beino el Shivchosi. Go to my Shivcho, to my maidservant, Ulai Ibone Mimenu. Perhaps I shall be built from through her. Vayishma Avram lekol Soroi. And Avraham listened to the voice of Sora. Here Rashi says two things. He says, first of all, from the fact that she said, perhaps I will be built through her. Limur almi shein leibonim shein abonu yelohorus. So we see from here that through children, a person becomes built, he becomes a binyan. Secondly, he said, Rashi says, what does it mean that I will be built through her? B'schusha achni sorosi l'seich besi. Through the schus, through the merit that I will bring in my tzora, I will bring in another woman into my household and give her to my husband, with that schus, perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow me to be built. It would seem that Rashi is implying, not necessarily that the offspring from Hogar, the maidservant, will be considered hers, but maybe through this schus she will have her own son. She will be built herself. So again we find that the terminology when it comes to a son and the woman is binyan, to be built. And we find this in the Sheva Brochas. Sheva Brochas that we make during Achasana. So the Brocha is Asher Yotzar Odom B'Tzalmei B'Tzelemei B'Tzalmei B'Tzelem Elekis, B'Tzelem Elekim Tad Nisoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in his image. V'hiskin le mimenu binyan ade ad. And he made from man a binyan, a building, which will be forever. So here again, we see that this is referred to binyan, to a building. And there it's referred to as a binyan ade ad, a building that will last forever. So through the marriage of a woman, a person has children, so he is building. And he builds forever. This is the schus, this is the opportunity that was given to man to promote himself and to continue himself forever. That's why she is referred to, a woman is referred to as a binyan ade ad. It's an eternal process of building. This language, this terminology is also used by Talmidei Chachamim for the sages, where it states that it says the bonecho, they are referred to as your sons. So the Gemara says, Al tikre bonecho, Bonaich, Bonaich, Ele Bonaich. Do not refer to them as Bonaich, as your sons, but Bonaich, as your builders. And the Mishnah in Masechta Mikvos, which refers to the Talmidei Chachamim as the Bonoim, as the builders. Why? She'eskim bebinyonei shel olam. Because someone who's osik betorah, someone who studies Torah, is building the world. Therefore, they refer to as the builders. Al tikrei bonaich, ele bonaich. Do not refer to them as my sons, but as my builders, as your builders. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu berach Avraham b'akol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avraham with everything. And akol refers to a son, because through her son, he'll be forever. And a son is called Ben, from the word binyan. If we look at today's generations, today's times, we see contrary to that. We see that many, many people withhold from the mitzvah of pruvah, from having children. They do not see, especially people of the younger generation, they do not see the importance of reproducing. And not only that, you have a problem universally, and even in Jewish circles, of abortion, of unwanted children, and abortion, where an enormous amount of children are destroyed because they are not wanted. This is not only a question of withholding from reproducing, this is already in the lines of Shvichas Domim, of murder. And this is opposite, totally contrary to this great mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to as binyan, building of the world. This is a total destruction of the world. So this is one point that we see from here, where the Torah gives us some light into a proper direction. The institution of marriage, we see from the Torah, is a very old institution. Here, in Avraham's time, Avraham lived in the year of 2000. He was 2,000 years after the creation of the world, which would be some 3,500 years ago. And Avraham was preparing for a chasana, to marry off his son. And we see that all of the predecessors of Avraham, the Torah tells us that they took wives and they gave birth to children. So we see it's a very old institution. Not only that, but we find that immediately at the creation of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava and he brought her to Adam to be as a wife. The Torah tells us in Perek Beis of Bereishis, Chav Gimel and Chav Dalet, Vayema Adam Zeis Apam Etzem Me'atzomai Ovosem Mipsori Lezeis Yikorei Isho Ki Mi'ish Lukocha Zeis. This time Adam said, she of my own bones and my own flesh, and he called her Isha because she was taken from Ish. Al kein yazov Ish es ovi ves imoi, and therefore a person should forsake his father and his mother, v'dovak bi ishtoi, and he shall cleave to his wife, v'hoyu lebosar echod, and he should be, they shall be one flesh. So the institution of marriage is not something that was thought up in later generations, but was right from the very beginning of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara in Erevin, tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a chasana. He made a chasana, a whole celebration between Adam and Chava. Here we see the structure that a person should take his wife, a woman, marry her, live with her on a permanent basis, and then between the two of them to build. This is a structure which comes from the beginning of the world. Someone might think that why are we belaboring this point so much? Because in modern generations this institution is under challenge. Now this structure that a person should cleave to his wife means two things. Firstly, that he should live on a permanent basis with one woman, with his wife. Secondly, he should have no outside, other marital relationships, extra marital relationships, or other types of relationships. This was the structure of marriage. The Rambam brings from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Tes, Halacha Hei. He brings what the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin says on this pasuk. Ashesh Arayis Asuris B'nei Nayach. Now, this posuk that we quoted was said to Adam Arishon, the first man. So this was before the Torah was given. This was before the institution of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael started with the Zer Avraham, with the seed of Avraham, and Yitzchok and Yaakov. So this was before. And this was before the Tariyag, the 613 mitzvahs. So therefore the mitzvahs that we learn from there are mitzvahs which are commanded, which are the B'nei Nayach, the sons of Adam Rishon, and the sons of Nayach are commanded on. Shesh Arayis Asuris al B'nei Nayach. But the Torah forbade the children of Nayach in six types of prohibitive relationships. Aim, they're not allowed to have a physical relationship with a mother. An Eshes Ha'av, a stepmother. Eshes Ish, another man's wife. Achese Me'imai, a sister who he's a sister to through the mother, at least through the mother. Zohar, to another male. Behema, to an animal. Now all of this, all of these we learn out, with exception of one, we learn out from this pasuk, from the sentence that we quoted. Shenemar al kein yaziv ish es oviv. What does it mean that the person should forsake his father? So eshes oviv. That he should forsake his father and even the wife of his father. So from here we learn out that a stepmother is prohibited to the B'nai Nayach. And it states he should forsake mother. So from there we learn that the mother is from the forbidden unions. V'dovak b'ishtai, and he should cleave to his wife. From there we learn his wife, Lebeishes Chavere, his wife and not another man's wife. So from there we learn that's a forbidden union. Also from the fact that it states that he should cleave to his wife, so we learn from his wife, Lebezocher, from his wife and not to another male. So from here we learn that homosexuality was prohibited to the B'nai Nayach. V'hoyu lebosar echod, and then it says they shall become one flesh. So from here we learn that he's not allowed to have any union with any type of animal. Any type of animal, shein hu behem bosar echod, because the Torah only permitted a union in which from this union they could become one flesh. In other words, they could bear a child which would be representative of both of them. They shall become one flesh to the child. And a union with any type of non-human species of mankind, with some type of animal, they cannot have a child. So from there we exclude this. So we learn from this posuk five forbidden unions in regarding to the B'nai Nayach. That is that he should alkein yaziv ish es oviv, he should forsake his father. This means even the wife of his father, a stepmother, ves imay, and his mother, and he should cleave to his wife and not another man's wife, to his wife and not a male, and they should become one flesh. So this means that to forbid a union with which you cannot become one flesh from. And then the sixth we learned by Avraham, when Avraham went to Avimelech, and he told Avimelech, and Sora told him, that she's not the wife of Avraham, but she's the sister of Avraham, because he was afraid that if Avimelech knew that she was the wife of Avraham, so he would kill Avraham and take Sora. Sora was extraordinarily beautiful. So later on Avimelech confronted Avraham and said, why did you lie to me? She's your wife, she's not your sister. So he said two things. Firstly, he says, I didn't tell you because I was, she's my wife, because I saw that there was no Yeres Elokim, there was no fear of Hashem in this place. I was afraid. But secondly, I only withheld that information, but I didn't really lie, because she's really a sister also to me. She's really a sister. Actually, she wasn't a sister of the first generation. She was a sister of a second generation. She was a niece. But that's like a sister. He says, she's a sister. Achesi bas ovihi achle bas imi. She's a sister through my father, but not a sister through my mother. Terach had married twice. So from the fact that he said that she's a sister through my father, not a sister through the mother, which means, and therefore I would have been permitted to marry her, even if she was a real sister of the first generation. So we learn from here that when it comes to the Bnei Nayach, the children of Nayach, they can marry a sister through the father, but not a sister through the mother. So these are the Sheish Harayis, the six forbidden unions that was given to people, to mankind, with the structure of marriage. Now, if a person works from within the structure, then there's binyan. Then this that he reproduces, and his wife, is binyan. Is the building of himself, the building of his family, and the building of the world. If a person works from without that structure, beyond the confines of that structure, so there, the Gemara brings, incidentally, by Klal Yisrael, they have additional forbidden unions, but it's the same principle. So then the Gemara brings, the sons which come from forbidden unions are either known as Pegumim or Mamzerim, depending on the type of unions they are. Pegumim or Mamzerim, Pogu means that there's something wrong. Mamzerim, Mamzer, the Gemara says, comes from the word Mumzor. There's an imperfection of an alien nature. An intrinsic imperfection of an alien nature. This is what the word Mamzer means, Mumzor. And it's understandable that you cannot build something that has an imperfection of an alien nature intrinsically. So, through those unions, wouldn't come binyan, wouldn't come building, but would come churba, destruction. So this is also very important for us to see in today's light, because today, because of the liberal movement, we are living in times of great liberal movements. Actually, South Africa, Baruch Hashem, is a little still old-fashioned. But if you go to other countries of the West, you'll find that they're more modern. And a lot of this emanates from the campuses, which the campuses, they want their total academic freedom, as they call it. They demand their total academic freedom. They say an academic cannot be an academic unless he has total autonomy, where he is not constricted and he's not limited by government or by any force that's beyond him. But academic freedom means that a person has the right to explore with his great wisdom. We see all the great chachomim on the campuses with their great wisdom and their great intellect and determine for themselves. Unfortunately, the Torah doesn't believe in that type of academic freedom. Because the Torah said, Al kein yaziv ish es aviv es imoy, that a person must forsake his father and mother. And the liberals with the campuses, they challenge the whole institution of marriage. You got many, many people today, I'm not speaking about someone who wants to get married, but he has not yet found his right zivug. You have many people today who can get married, they're even living with people, but they totally reject this institution of marriage. They totally reject the prohibition of homosexuality or animalistic relationships or extramarital affairs. The fact is, there are many places, liberal campuses in Western countries today where professors will even recommend it. And this is the academic freedoms. So, in case we should be in doubt of this, we should know clearly that the institution of marriage is not something that people thought up or used it for convenience or something new. It was chakuka in the Bria. It was established in the creation in the time of the Oves, before the Oves, and immediately at the creation of the world. So that's another point that we learn from here. Now we'll go another step. This is in regards to the Bnei Noach, to the children of Noach, who even they, although they were not given Torah of 613 mitzvahs, they were given only 7 mitzvahs. They were given this institution of marriage, a structure to work within, and where what is without, beyond that structure, is prohibited. Klal Yisrael was given additional. In Sefer Dvorim, Perechov Beis, excuse me, Perechov Dalet, Parshas Kiseitse, the Torah tells us, Ki yikach ish isho avolo, that if a man takes a woman and he comes to her. So from there the Gemara learns, we have a whole Masechta called Masechta Kiddushin. The Gemara learns from there that when a Jew takes a wife, before living with her, he must take her. But this is not written by the Bnei Noach, by the children of Noach. The children of Noach, so he lives with her. But when a Jew takes a wife, he must first take her. What does this taking mean? So the Gemara learns out, it's actually from this parsha, Kicha kicha bizdei Ephraim, that this means Kiddushin. That first you must sanctify her with marriage, and then you live with her. The Rambam sums this up in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus. The Rambam says, Kodem Matan Torah, before the Torah was given, Hoya Odom Pegia Isha Bishuk. A man could meet a woman in the market. Imrotzo Huvihi, if they both were agreeable to each other, and they agreed to be married, so he would take her into his home, Uvoala, and he would live with her. No witnesses would witness anything. And formally, legally, she became his wife. And this was the law before the Torah was given, and this is how the law remains now for all nations, with the exception of Israel. Kiven shenitna Torah, once the Torah was given, nitztavul Israel. Israel was commanded, shin yitzo ish lisa isha, that if a man wants to marry a woman, yikne esei tchila. First he must acquire her through marriage. Bifnei Eidim, in the front of witnesses. Ahakach, and afterwards tia lelisha. And then she becomes his wife, and then he can live with her. And this is what we refer to as Kiddushin, or like the Chachomim made, Chupa Kiddushin. And the intricacies of Chupa and Kiddushin, that we have an entire Masechta. And this is from the Posuki, Ikach Ishisho Avolo, first he must formally take her, and then he's allowed to live with her. The most common way to take her, there are several ways given in the Torah, but the most common method used is Kesef Kiddushin, where he gives her something of a value. And it was become the custom of Klal Yisrael to use a ring. So this is why we marry with a ring. It is worthy to note that in the Western culture, I don't think you find this in the Oriental cultures, but in the Western cultures, anybody will tell you that that's how always you get married. You get married with a ring. This is not so. This is Minig Yisrael. The ring is the custom of Yisrael. This is the halacha, the law of Israel, that they must give something of a value. It doesn't have to be a ring, but it evolved to become a ring for various reasons. This is the custom of Israel. The Romans and the other nations copied Israel from. This is where they got it from. This that you find in the Christian church today and other nations that were under the influence of the Romans also use the ring. This comes from the Jews. And the fact is, I once saw this in an encyclopedia. But the encyclopedia wrote that on the custom of marrying with a ring, its origin is first known as a Jewish custom. And by the nations, They were not commanded to do so. They were merely commanded, which is known as common law marriage. See, they were commanded that if a man and a woman wants to marry, then he takes her to his home, and they live together, and the marriage is consummated. And the fact is, that's the only way the marriage can be consummated. But by Torah law for Yisrael, first he must be Mekadesher. First he must make a Maisa Kiddushin, which is what we have, Kiddushin and Chuppah. And then the marriage is consummated. The marriage is consummated without physically living together. This is by Yisrael. Only by Yisrael. And then he's permitted, they are permitted to live together. So therefore the mitzvah is Kicho v'achakach bo'olam. First to be Mekadish, and then to live together. This was given to Klal Yisrael. What do we see from here? That the structure of marriage was given to the world. But to Klal Yisrael was given an additional structure, an additional kedusha, an additional sanctity. That there must be a sanctification, an additional sanctification within that structure. Now actually, Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov were not required in this, because they had the laws of Bnei Noach. They lived before the Torah was given. So they were not required, and they could not even, it was not necessarily possible for them to fulfill all mitzvahs. But the Torah tells us that the Oves, Abraham, and Abraham for sure, and even some of the, most of the Oves, they fulfilled all of the laws of the Torah before it was given. How did they know it? They knew it through prophecy. And they knew it later because they went to learn Torah by Shem Ve'Eber, the descendants of Noach, that people had known Torah before, even though it wasn't given officially at Har Sinai, and even though they weren't commanded in it. And therefore the Gemara brings from this parsha of Eliezer, where many of the things that he did was in order to make a kiddushin, in order to make the chuppah and the kedushin. The Gemara learns many halachas from this parsha in relations to various customs of chuppah and kedushin, in order to give this additional sanctification. It's interesting to note that if a Jew lives with a woman without chuppah and kedushin, they live merely under common law. So the Gemara calls that, the Gemara says, that is what is termed as a pilegish. That's a concubine. That's not the status of a Bas Yisrael, of the honor and the position that was given to the daughters of Israel. This is what the Gemara calls. It's a wonder, therefore, in our generation, we have many people, because of the liberal movement, where they reject the institution of marriage. And evidently they're not aware of it, but they choose rather a status of a concubine than a status of a Bas Yisrael, of an Eishes Yisrael, that was given to the wives of Israel. What it says, the whole purpose of the Kiddushin is to give the marriage and to give the wife a greater status, in order that it wouldn't be merely a status of a mistress or a concubine. So it's a great wonder that we find so much of the youth today that seem to prefer the status of a mistress and a concubine more than that of an Eishes Yisrael. So that's another point that we learn from here. Abraham told Eliezer, Vayim Abraham el Abdi Zikan Beisaya, Meishel Bechol Ashelei. Abraham called his faithful servant Eliezer and he said, take an oath, and I want you to take an oath by the name of the God of heaven and the God of earth. That you will not take a wife for Yitzchok, my son, from the Canaanim. Now Avraham was living in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael was occupied by seven nations, and these seven nations were the descendants of Canaan. Noah had three sons, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Chom, who was the wicked son, when the Torah tells us what took place after the flood, so Chom's descendants were Canaan, and they had gone and taken over Eretz Yisrael, and that's why Eretz Yisrael was called Eretz Canaan. And Avraham said, take an oath, do not take a wife from the Canaanim. But you should go back to my land and to my birthplace. There you shall take a wife for Yitzchok. Now, we can ask, what was bothering Avraham that they shouldn't take from Canaan? After the Torah was given, or even before the Torah was given, but after the time of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, so that what was known as the Bnei Yaakov, the Beis Yaakov, the children of Yaakov, and from here the Torah was given to them, and this is Klal Yisrael. But in Avraham's time, so at any rate, there were no Bnei Yaakov. His son Yitzchok was going to marry someone who is not from the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. So what's the difference where they're from? So the answer to this is Avraham didn't want the Canaanim. He wanted from Shem. He said, go back to my land and to my birthplace, and there are the descendants of Shem. And like later on Rashi tells us, actually Eliezer was hoping that maybe he could get in on this, that he could give his daughter to Yitzchok. So Avraham said no. Because Avraham had come from Shem himself, and Shem was blessed. When the episode took place with Noach, that one of the sons did a wicked act to him, that was because of Chom and Canaan, and Shem went and covered up his father, and with the help of Yefes, so Shem was given a brocha. So Avraham came from Shem, and he was blessed. Plus Avraham had the brochas of Avraham, Lech Lecho Me'atzecho, go out from your land and I will bless you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the special brochas. So Avraham was blessed. Canaan was cursed. Ve'ein oro dovek b'boruch. And you cannot make a good vekus, you cannot make a good union if one is cursed and the other is blessed. The whole purpose of the marriage is to make a union. So therefore he said, not the Canaanim. Do not take from the Canaanim. Go back to my land and take from the Zera of Shem, from the descendants of Shem. Now we don't find that this all of the time. We find this by Abraham, by Yitzchok, by Yaakov, but we don't find it later on. Because the laws are that any nation that will be Megaya, any nation that will convert, is accepted into Klal Yisrael, with the exceptions of foreign nations that the Torah reckons. But otherwise, any nation. So the answer is, though, we said that when you get married, so you're dealing with binyan, with building. Avraham was dealing with a special building. Not only was he dealing with building himself and his own family and building the world, he was dealing with building Klal Yisrael. This was the binyan of Yisrael. Avraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov were the Aves, and Av means the beginning. So this was the beginning of the binyan of Yisrael. Therefore he was very, very adamant that when it comes to the foundations of the building of Yisrael, that must be Boruch. That must be with a foundation of blessedness. Therefore he says, not from Canaan. Take from others, but not from Canaan. Here we see that the Oves were very concerned about the purity of Klal Yisrael and who should enter into Klal Yisrael. if an alien nation would enter into Klal Yisrael, this would destroy Israel. So when it came to the foundation that had to be from the seed of Shem, which was blessed, not from the seed of Canaan that was cursed. Later on, once the foundation was there, then it had to be either by Jewish birth or by those that the Torah accepted through Gerus, through conversion. This is also something for us to think about. When we find again the liberals destroy the purity of Klal Yisrael through assimilation and through intermarriage. Now, Abraham said, "Ki al arzi ve'al maladati telech." Go back to my land and to my birthplace. We don't find that Abraham laid down too many conditions when it came to the shidduch. Is all he said, do not take from Canaan. And he said, go back to my land, umeladati, and to my birthplace. That's all he said. Alright, so we explained why he didn't want from Canaan. Now, my land and maladati could mean his family. But it seems from the Targum, and it seems from Rashi later on, it's not referring to his family, it's merely referring to a city. The place of my birth, my land, in the city of my birth, Ur Kasdim. Rabbeinu Bechaya brings out that he says that when Avram came to look for a shidduch, why didn't he tell Eliezer, go find a rich family? That should have been one of the conditions. So we see that didn't bother Avraham. So he says, from here we learn that when you go look for a shidduch, don't look for money. That shouldn't enter the picture. It didn't concern Avraham. It shouldn't consider the seed of Avraham. It's a dover maguna. It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a very repulsive principle that when a person goes to find a wife, where money comes into the situation, Shulchan Aruch is brought that if the family wants to give you money, you accept it. Why not? But to make that a condition and a prerequisite and a reason, that's something very repulsive. And Rabbeinu Bechaya says, look, we learn from our father. He brings that there was a minig amongst he was a Sfardi. And there was a minig amongst the Sfardim that when there was a chosen in shul, that Shabbos, they would also read this parsha. They would add to the parsha and read this parsha. And he says, because from here we learn how a person should get married. So he says, our father Abraham, he didn't put down that as a condition. See how much money they have. So he says, therefore dismiss it. He says, also, he didn't put down a condition of nobility. People generally want good families. Especially Avraham was a nobleman. Avraham was Nasi. He was a prince. So he should have told Eliezer, it must be a princely family. It must be a family of esteem, of power, and nobility. He says, that didn't enter the picture either. He says, from here we learn also that when you go, you don't look necessarily for great nobility and royalty or power. That also not. So what did Abraham look for? So let us see. He says, go to my land and to my birthplace. Now what was so good about his land and his birthplace? Abraham came from a land of Babel. Ur Kasdim wasn't a very good place. Evidently, Abraham felt, besides the fact that he didn't want the Ketanim and he wanted the descendants of Shem, and it doesn't even seem from the Torah that he made a condition that it must be from his family. It doesn't seem that he made that condition. Merely it must be from his place. Evidently he felt that it should be someone who's Dema. There should be similarities. that when you get married, it should be people who come at least from a similar background, where there should not be too many, preferably, and there shouldn't be too many major differences between them. That's what it would seem from there. And then he said, and we'll speak about that a little more soon. And then he said, "V'lakachto isha livni liyitzchok." Go there and take a woman for my son, for Yitzchok. Now this word Yitzchok is redundant, because he already, we're talking about Yitzchok. Avraham had only one son, and he already told Eliezer. He says, "Go and take a wife for my son." So what does he say? "V'lakachto isha livni liyitzchok." Take a wife for my son, for Yitzchok. So there he meant a wife that's royally Yitzchok, a wife that will be fitting for Yitzchok. Yitzchok was a tremendous righteous person. Yitzchok was Yitzchok. He was the one, the Balak Edom, who offered himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchok also knew the entire Torah. So he said, that's what you should look for. Look for a wife that will be a wife for Yitzchok. Someone that is roy, that is fit to enter into the house of Yitzchok. So he wasn't interested in wealth, and he wasn't interested in power or nobility. He was interested that she should be befitting in stature for Yitzchok. So therefore Eliezer tested her. With what did he test her with? Gemilas Chesed. He said, "I'll make a test. That when I come," he says, "when I come, I'm sitting now, I'm standing now by the spring of water. And the daughters of the city are coming to draw water. And when it will come to the young girl that I will ask, give me from your jug, and I will drink. And she will say, drink. And also your camels I will give to drink. Also, hechachtel avdechel Yitzchok. This is the one that will be proven to be the one worthy for your servant Yitzchok. This will be worthy for Yitzchok. Uva eda ki asiso chesed im Adoni." So he tested her in chesed. And if you notice, he tested her in teisvus chesed. In additional chesed. Why? He didn't say that the one that I'll ask to give me water to drink, and she'll say drink, that will be the one that's proven for Yitzchok. He didn't say that. He said, the one that I will ask to give me to drink, and she will say drink, and also I will give your camels to drink, that is the one that will be proven for Yitzchok. Merely to submit to a request is not necessarily chesed. It's not necessarily chesed. It could be. But many times that could already be what we call din. If someone needs something, so you give it to him, it's not the greatest level of chesed. Someone needs, so you give him what is needed, so you had compassion on him. You had rachmanis on him. That's found by many people. But chesed, to do more than the person needs, that will be proven as for Yitzchok. Why? Because that was the midah of Avraham. Okay. By Avraham it says by Iyuv, who was a great machnis orich, who used to take guests into his home and did chesed for them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "No, you didn't come to the midah of Avraham. You don't come to the level of Avraham. Iyuv used to give whoever came into his home accordingly. If it was a poor man that would eat black bread, he would give him black bread. If it was a wealthier man that would eat fine wheat bread, he would give him fine wheat bread. If it was a wealthy person who was used to good wine, he would give him good wine. This is how they praised Iyuv." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "You are not like my servant Avraham. A poor man came into Avraham's house. He gave him the best bread possible. Another man came in who would eat good bread but never drink wine. Avraham would bring out his best wine. This is the chesed shel Avraham. To comply is not necessarily a great standard in chesed. Someone asks you for 50 cents, to give him the 50 cents, it's a mitzvah. But that's not chesed Avraham. Chesed of Avraham is that when someone asked him for 50 cents, he gave him a rand. He looked to do more. This was the meat of Avraham. And that's why it states that Avraham was reidev tzdok of a chesed. What does it mean, reidev tzdok of a chesed? Not he did, he complied to the need. He went to look for the need. Many people will comply to the need. You'll come and they'll ask, they say, we need this, we need that, they'll comply. Now this is a great mitzvah, this is great. We must not downgrade it. But when you have someone who goes and looks for the need, that's the midah shel Avraham. Where do we see that? We see that consistently by Avraham. We saw it in last week's parsha. Avraham yeshev b'pesach ha'el kechem hayom. Avraham was sitting in front of the tent in the heat of the day. What was Avraham doing there? He should have been in bed. He was an old man, 99 years old, 3 days after an operation of Bris Milah. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis on him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it such a hot day that he didn't want travelers to come to bother Avraham. So what was Avraham yeshiv b'pesach? What was he doing outside? Because the Gemara says that Avraham was worried. I'm not doing chesed today. There are no travelers. And he sent Eliezer and said, go find some orchim. And Eliezer came back and he said, there is none. And he didn't believe Eliezer. So he went out himself to look. He's not complying to a need. There was no need. There was no demand. And when he did see someone in the distance, Rots, he ran to them. They didn't ask him. The fact is, the Gemara says the reason why he ran to them is because when he saw them from a distance, he was afraid they were going away. So just the opposite. Not that people came and asked him. They were going away from him. And he ran to them. This was Avraham. So when Avraham said, that's who you look for. This is the prerequisite. Take a wife, libni liyitzchok, that she should be a wife for Yitzchok. So Eliezer understood. A wife for Yitzchok? That means someone that's ru'uya to enter into the house of Avraham. So he says, I must test her. I'll ask her to give me water to drink. If she'll say, here is water to drink, that's not for the house of Avraham. That's for the house of Eov. It's not for the house of Avraham. If she'll say that I will give you hatei kadech ve'eshte, she will say hatei no kadech ve'eshte, that here, take some and drink. Ve'omra, and she will say ve'gam gemalecha ashke, and also your camels I will give to drink. Then I say echach to la'avdecho l'yitzchok. Then this is the one that's fit for Yitzchok. And this is what took place by Yehu Terem Kilol Edaber. Before he finished speaking, Vine Rivki Yetzis, Asher Yulda Lebesule Ben Milka Ishes Nochor Achi Avraham. Rivki came, who was born to Besuel, who was the son of Milka, the wife of Nochor. Rivka was the granddaughter of Avram's brother. Avram's brother was Nochor, and Nochor's wife was Milka, and they gave birth to Besuel, and Besuel gave birth to Rivka. And the Chadra Shichmo, and she had a jug on her shoulder, Vanara Tevus Baremi Old Besula Vishla Yodo, she was a beautiful woman. And Besula, she was a virgin, Vishla Yodo, and she had never lived with any man. And she came down to the spring, and she filled up her jug, and the Evid Eliezer ran to meet her, and he said, Hadmiini no me'at mai mikadeh, give me a little water from your jug. Batomer, and she said, Shiseadini, she said, drink. And she ran and she filled up the jug. And when he finished to drink, Vatome, she said, Gam ligmalecho yashov, I will also draw for your camels. She said even more, Arinkil lishtos, until they are finished drinking. And he was there with 10 camels. And the camel drinks a lot of water. This was not a simple thing. They had crossed the desert. And a camel drinks a lot of water, and there were 10 camels. And she was a little girl. According to one opinion, she was only 3 years old. And she said, not only will I give you to drink. She didn't say much, she did. After you finish drinking, she said, I'll bring water for your camels. And she gave to the camels ad until Adim Kilalishtes. Until they finished the drink, Vatishav Lechol Gemalov. And she brought water. It took many, many trips. And she brought water until all the camels were finished drinking. When Eliezer saw this, he says, this is real material for Avram's house. This is for Yitzchak. He said, this meter he had seen only by Avraham. Vayish mishtoya. See? Lo machrish lo das atzliach Hashem darkim lay. So therefore, this was the prerequisite. That she should be, take a wife, not a wife, but a wife for Yitzchak. Someone who will be on the status, the stature, the spiritual stature of Yitzchak. We find that he tested her with Gemilas Chesed, but in particular with one phase of Gemilas Chesed, and that was Hachnosas Orchim. Chesed, anything that you do for your fellow man, bein begufei, bein bememeine, whether you do it physically or whether you do it financially, anything you do to give some type of joy or some type of comfort or relief to your fellow man, that's chesed. But there's a particular type of chesed which is known as achnosis orchim. Achnosis orchim is to give comfort or relief or joy to the wayfarer. So he tested her not only with chesed, but a particular phase of chesed, achnosis orchim. Eliezer was a wayfarer. And achnosis orchim was a particular quality of Avraham. We learned achnosis orchim from Avraham like we learned in last week's parsha, in Parshas Vayera. And achnosis orchim in particular, even though chesed brings tremendous, tremendous returns. It says that elu dvorim she'odem eichel perusen be'ilam hazeh v'akeren kayemes le'ilam habor. These are the things that a person eats from the fruits in this world, but still he does not deplete the principle, the capital, at all. Capital remains intact in the next world. I mentioned on Shabbos that this is an investment that cannot crash. It's guaranteed not to crash. See, anything that any investments we make, generally there's no guarantee, but this is. That and it's chesed, gemilas chasodim, achnosis orchim. That when a person does gemilas chesed, so he will have reward both in this world, but whatever he eats from this in this world, it will not deplete what his reward is waiting for him in the next world at all. Keren kayemes le'elam abo. So even though all chesed has enormous returns, but achnosis orchim has special returns. Chofetz Chaim Zichrayni L'Vrocha brings, he says, from achnosis orchim, we see has particular returns in binyan, in building. Sora was, he brings this from the Medrash, Sora was given the news that she and Avraham will have a son next year, only after they took in the Malachim, the three angels, and they were Machnis Orchim. They fulfilled the mitzvah of Achnosis Orchim with them. Of wayfarers with them. And he says that was not coincidental. That besura, that news, was linked to the Achnosis Orchim. Because of his great work in chesed to travelers, Avraham and Sora was eicher to Aben. This is Binyan Eilam, this is the building of the world. There was eicher to Yitzchak. We see Rivka. Through what act did Rivka come into the house of Avraham? Through the act of Achnosis Orchim. Through the act of Achnosis Orchim, she was zeichet to a shidduch. And what kind of shidduch? With Yitzchak. And she became the imos. She became from the mothers of Klal Yisrael, she became the father of Yaakov, the mother of Yaakov. Yaakov, who was the most perfect, the Bechira Ovis, the perfection of the Ovis. Through Hakdosas Orchim. This is what he brings. The Gemara brings. We see the same thing by Meisha in Yisro and Tzipora. Through an act of Achnosis Orchim, Yisro merited a binyan olam, a building forever. When Meisha fled from Egypt and he came to the well, and there the shepherds were molesting the seven daughters of Yisro. So Meisha saved them, and he drew water for their sheep. He was a gentleman, he took care of them, and they came home early that day. So his father asked, Yisro asked them, why are you so early? So they told Yisro the story, Ish Mitzri Itziluni. So he said, Lomaz after, why did you leave him? Kiren lay, v'yechalochem. Call him, and he'll eat bread with us. The Torah doesn't say who went to call him. Torah merely says that Meisha came back and ate bread, and Yisro gave Meisha one of his daughters. Medrash says that soon as Yisro said that, when the daughters heard they shouldn't have left Meisha there, they should have brought him home, Tzipora rots. Rots at Tzipora. Tzipora ran, she was the first one, and she ran, it states, Tzipora means a bird. She ran with the speed of a bird, with the lightness of a bird, back to the well. I don't know how far it was. Back to the well to find Meisha and to bring him home. So this was an act of Yechaloch, an act of Achnosis Orchim, giving them bread. Vayiten lo, and Yisro gave to Moshe Tzipora. Through this, Tzipora was Eicher to Ashidich, to Meisha Rabbeinu, Rabban Shalkol HaNavim, the greatest of all the prophets, the one who brought Torah to Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says Yisro through this was Megayer, he converted. He became part of Klal Yisrael, and not only did he become part of Klal Yisrael, but his descendants became Yeshvei Lishkas Agozis. Lishkas Agozis, his descendants became members of the Sanhedrin. So that's the Gemara we quoted last week, Gedele Ligimah, Shemarachak Mikarem Esesarachekim. That even someone who's far away, it will bring close. But we see here in particular, Gemilas Chesed, Achnosis Orchim, taking care of the wayfarer, brings the building of the world. It brings people together in marriage and children. This is what we see from these episodes. Another point. It states that when Eliezer set off to go to Avraham's city, Aram Naharaim, it says in Pasuk Yud, Vayikach Ever Asor Gemali, Migmale Adenot. The Eved Eliezer took 10 camels, Migmale Adenot, from the camels of his master. Now that word is redundant. If he took 10 camels, we understand that they were the camels of Avraham. Who else camels are they? Can't be Eliezer's, because Eliezer was a slave. Anything that Eliezer owns, Avraham owns. He wouldn't take camels of someone else. So what does it mean, Migmale Adonav, from the camels of his master? So Rashi brings from the Medrash, from Bereishis Rabba, Nikorin Hoye Mishag Malim. Avraham's camels were different than all other camels. They were distinguished from all other camels, Avraham's camels. And because of their distinction, it mentions that he takes 10 camels, Avraham's camels. Right? Because they just weren't regular camels, they were distinguished. That's why it states, Migmale Adonav. When someone saw Avraham's camels, he didn't see a camel, he saw Avraham's camels. How were they distinguished? Perhaps they were thoroughbreds. That's how they were distinguished. Gemara has a different set of values. No, that's not distinction. They were distinguished because Shehayeitzin zmumin mitnei hagezel shelo yira bizdotis acherim. They were distinguished because they were muzzled. All camels went without muzzles. Avraham's camels, when they were on the journey, they were muzzled. Because Avraham didn't want them to eat along the way where they would eat in other people's fields. So that's what it means, Migmale Adonav. Not camels, Avram's camels. Avram's camels were distinguished. They were distinguished where they were always on a journey. It was always, they were always muzzled to the fact where they couldn't eat. But they couldn't be Yiru Bisodis Achirim. Now, the question is why does the Torah tell us that here? Right? The Torah is teaching us how careful a person should be from Gezel, from taking something that doesn't belong to him. And this was Abraham's Midah. But why does the Torah tell it here? So many places the Torah can tell us this. Why here? The answer is obvious. Eliezer was going on a tremendous shlichus here. He was going not only on a shlichus shel mitzvah, he was not only going on a mission of mitzvah. He was going here on binyan ha'olam and binyan Yisrael. He was going here to build the world. He was going to find a wife for Yitzchok, who would become the parents of Yaakov, who would become the father of Klal Yisrael. So could there be a greater mitzvah? Eliezer was Eisik b'binyon eshalela. So could there be a greater mitzvah? And therefore, we would think that when you go on such a mitzvah, there can be no obstacles. You must go with a great enthusiasm and a great zizus and a great speed. Therefore, you shouldn't do anything that will hamper the speed and that will hamper the productivity and the success of this mission. So therefore I would think, look, now's not the time to bother to muzzle up all the camels. And it's slower also, because this means it was a long journey. And if they couldn't graze along the ways, so this means that he's going to have to stop at certain points and feed them. Otherwise they just graze along the ways. So this is a big bother. It's a big tircha. And it involves time. And it's going to shter, it's going to be an obstacle. So on a shlicha shel mitzvah like this, where you're going to build Klal Yisrael, don't worry about it. Here the Torah tells us now, not Avraham. Vayikach migmale Adonav, asor gemale migmale Adonav. He took from the camels of Avraham. Avraham told him, it can be the greatest mitzvah in the world. That gives you no permission to take something that belongs to someone else. Don't be teyeh. Don't make the mistake. Don't think because you're doing great mitzvahs, you have a right to step on other people. No. That's not how to build Klal Yisrael. That's how to destroy Klal Yisrael. He told Eliezer, they must be from the camels of Avraham. Zemumin. Where they will not be year or take from other people. A similar case we find when in Parshas told us. Parshas told us when Yitzchok was old and he wanted to bless Esau, and he told Esau, go bring me some food that I may eat. Go catch, hunt and catch me some food that I might eat and bless you. So in Toldos Parshas, it's Bereishis Chof Vov, Bereishis Chof Zayin, Posik Gimel. He said, "Vato sono kelecho tel yucho vekashtecho." Take your hunting tools and your bow and your arrow. And say, "Asode v'tsudalitzoid," and go catch them, hunt for me. So Rashi says, "What does it mean for me?" Mina hefker v'le mina gesel. He said, "Don't steal it, but mina hefker. Look for an animal that's ownerless in the woods, in the bush. But don't steal someone's animal." So the Maral asks, how could Yitzchok think that Esav might steal? In Yitzchok's eyes, Esav was the righteous one. In Yitzchok's eyes, Esav was the one who was supposed to become the leader of Klal Yisrael. So what is he telling Esav not to steal for? Because Esav was a gon. Esav was great when it came to Kibbur Avim, the Gemara says. When it came to giving honor to Yitzchok, Esav was tops. So Yitzchok was afraid that if I tell him to do something for me, and he thought he was righteous, he thought because of his righteousness that he's going to do a mitzvah for me, so he might overlook the fact that this animal maybe belongs to someone, or it's a shiloh and he'll take it. He's not certain and he'll take it. So he says, now you have to be special careful. Even though I'm telling you for a great mitzvah for me, and through this I will give you the brachos, nevertheless be special careful. Make sure the animal does not belong to anyone. That's the same thing here. Now this is very important, because Harbi Nikshalim is it. Because many people get tripped up. Many people feel that if it's a mitzvah, if you're on a shlichus mitzvah, you've come, you've gone on a trip, or you've come to the country, or you've gone somewhere to do a mitzvah, then you don't have to keep the laws. You can take what doesn't belong to you, you can step on other people's feet, anybody that gets in your way, because you're going to do a great mitzvah. See, here the Torah tells us that's not so. But even Avraham that was going, and Eliezer, and they were going to be Isaac Bebinyan Shalaylam, they were going to build Klal Yisrael, find a wife for Yitzchok, who would give birth to Yaakov, who would be the father of Klal Yisrael. Can there be a greater mitzvah than that? And it should be Maher, with a great hurriness. He still said, take from my camels, Migamali Adainov, distinguish it at Avraham's camels. Be careful they don't take one blade of grass from someone else, even if you have to make your trip much longer. Because doing mitzvahs does not permit you to do that with other people's money. What was his reward? Many people think you can't do such a thing like that because it will delay you. It will come and disturb the achievement of the mitzvah. That you leave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu worry about that. What happened? Later on, in Posuk, Mem Beis, when Eliezer was telling over the story to the family of Rivka, so he said, "Va'over hayom el ha'oyim." He said, "I came today to the well." So Rashi brings from the Medrash, "Hayom yotzosi v'hayom bosi mikan shekoftzele oritz." I left today and I came today. I left the house of Avraham today and I came there. By a miracle, I came here in one day. Koftzele oritz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a miracle, Eliezer, that he made from a long journey one day. Just the opposite the way people think. They think that we will make shortcuts. That's not shortcuts. Leave the shortcuts for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You do what you're supposed to do. And don't step on other people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do what he's supposed to do. All of this precaution allowed Eliezer that instead of getting there in 10 days or however long the journey should have taken, he got there in one day. One final point. We mentioned that Avraham said, go back to my land and my birthplace. That perhaps he wanted people of a common background. Now this is important. At least if possible. Doesn't mean it has to be, but it's easier. Why? Because a zivug marriage means taking two and making one from them. This is what marriage means. The boser echot, to become one. And this is what shalom is. Shalom means to take two parts, ubi mashlim, to make one complete unit from them. Maral says that the reason why the Gemara says kosh zivug mishalom ki kriyas yam suf, that this marriage is as difficult as the splitting of the sea, because water by nature is one. Water always hangs together. If you see, water always goes in a unit. The fact is, we don't find that we don't find that the word mayim even has a singular since. Right? All the time, mayim is used in the plural. Because water is always waters together. So by nature, water cleaves together. What was the miracle of the splitting of the sea? Kodesh Baruch Hu took something that by nature was one, and he separated it. He split it and made it into two. Marriage is just the opposite. By nature, you take someone that are two, and you make them into one. So that is the similarity between marriage and Kriyas Yam Suf. So therefore, we don't want to add additional problems where two people come from totally different backgrounds and different outlooks and try to make one out of them. Therefore, it's better that they should be damim zelazer as much as possible. It's better that they should be similar. Now, from here we see that marriage is taking two and making one out of them. So the foundation of a marriage, therefore, is shalom ve'achdus. Shalom, which is the word shalem, mashlim, means a complete unit. Achdus, oneness. The antithesis of marriage is ktota. Ktota machlekes. That there should be argument, that there should be disputes. This is the antithesis to marriage. Because machlekes comes from the word chelek, where you take one and you make two out of it. So this is the antithesis. This is the importance. Therefore, if we're talking about binyan of building, then people have to give forth enormous effort to see that there is shalom in the marriage, shalom bayis. Enormous effort. And that there is not ketot and machlekes, because that is korban. That takes one and breaks it. So that's korban. And that's the total antithesis to marriage. There's an interesting halacha, the yeshiva is learning Yevamos now. There's an interesting halacha that's brought in Eben Ezra. In Eben Ezra in Siman Aleph, in the mitzvah of Pruvu, speaking of having children, the mitzvah of having children, so the Ramah brings that even though a person, this is in Sifches, even though if a person has not fulfilled Pruvu, he doesn't have children, then he must marry a woman who's capable of having children. Now comes the question. Now there's another halacha. Even if a person has a son and a daughter, he's still obligated, not min haTorah, but he's obligated from the rabbis to continue to have children. Now comes the question: is what happens if a person is, say, his wife, heaven forbid, his wife died, and he has children, and he's thinking of remarrying? Halacha, he must have a wife, so he must remarry. So it says he should look for a wife that's still capable of having children, so he could fulfill this additional halacha, even though he already has a son and a daughter. Now, it's brought, what happens im yesh lebonim harbe? If he has many children, umishyore, and he's afraid, shimiso isha basbonim, that if he will marry a woman who's capable of having children, and then he will have children by her, yovek totes umerives, ben habonim ubein ishtoi. He's afraid that there will be, many times it's common, he's afraid that there will be faribul vachlekes between the children that he has from a second wife and the children that he has from his first wife, or between his second wife and the children he has from the first wife. And he has grounds to believe that there might be that. So then the din is mutalisu isha asheira basbonim. Then he's allowed to marry a woman that's not capable of having children, since he's fulfilled the basic mitzvah where he has a son and a daughter. So for this other mitzvah, it's allowed. So the Peskim go into the source of this din, and the Gaon brings, where is the source of this din? He says, from a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos says that when a man dies and he leaves no children, so then his wife falls to the brother-in-law. The brother-in-law is supposed to marry her. he has an option to marry her or to give her a chalitza, to free her. It says, V'dibur el azkenim, says that they go and they speak to the elders. Gemara says, what do they speak to the elders about? It says, the elders are obligated, the Gemara says, the elders are obligated, this is in the Gemara, and Mem Dalet Aleph, and Kuf Aleph Beis, are obligated to counsel him, whether he should marry her, or whether he should give her a chalitza to free her. How do they counsel him? If it's a young man and a young woman, or an older man and an older woman, so they say, marry her. But if it's a young man and an older woman, or an old man and a younger woman, they say, Loma tovi ktota l'seich beisei. Why must you bring machlekes into your house? Give her chalitza. Free her. They're obligated to counsel him not to make the mitzvah shibum. The Gemara says that if a person is willing to make the mitzvah shibum, then that's the mitzvah min ha-Torah. And chalitza is not the mitzvah. Chalitza b'mokam yibum la mitzvah. If a person wants to make mitzvah shibum, then that's the mitzvah. And chalitza is not an answer for it. And still you see that the elders are obligated to counsel him not to make mitzvah shibum. So what do we see? We see for the sake of peace, even a mitzvah's essay min ha-Torah, the Gaon brings, see? For the sake of peace, even a mitzvah's essay min ha-Torah, a positive commandment min ha-Torah, is nitches, is set aside. Even a positive commandment min ha-Torah is set aside for the sake of peace. Because here he's, the obligation is he should marry her. But since they say, they see that from such a shidduch can come arguments and dissension, so they're obligated to counsel him to set aside the mitzvah. This is the how important shalom is in a household. Just want to conclude with the Rambam. The Rambam says at the end of Hilchus Chanukah. So Chanukah, it's a Rambam that we've quoted before. At the end of Hilchus Chanukah, the Rambam says, Moshe says, if a person only has a little money, and it's Chanukah, and it's Shabbos, and he has enough money to buy one candle, so what should he do? Should he use that candle for Chanukah? Or should he use that candle for Shabbos? Or should he rather buy wine for Kiddush? This is a shaila in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, if it's a question of Chanukah and Kiddush, then he should rather get a candle for Chanukah because Zichrein Anes, because that's greater mitzvah, because it talks about the great miracle that took place. If it's a question of Chanukah and wine for Kiddush and Shabbos candles, it says then the deen is he must buy the Shabbos candles and let the other mitzvahs go. They're basically them. Why? Because Shabbos candles represent Shalom Bayis. And Shalom Beisa is Adifa. That there should be peace in the house is greater than making a remembrance of the great miracle which took place on Hanukkah or making Kiddush over wine. Shalom Bayis is greater. Sha'arei Hashem nimcha klasi Shalom Beinish Lishtai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed his name to be eradicated in order to bring peace between man and his wife. That's in the Parsha of Sotah. Godel HaShalom, so great is Shalom, the Rambam writes, Shekol HaTeira Ditna Lasi Shalom Olam. Purpose of the whole Torah is given merely to make peace in the world. As it states, Shenema Drochel Darkei Ne'am V'chol Nisiv Oseo Shalom, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. So this is something that when we speak of marriage, whether we're talking of marriage in the world, or marriage in the eyes of Klal Yisrael, which as we mentioned is an old institution. The essence of marriage is Shalom. That's the essence of marriage. Right? Essence of marriage is taking two and making one from them. That's the essence of marriage. And the essence of marriage is binyan, is building. Why does the Torah tell us this whole story? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avraham Bakol. And Bakol was a ben. And since he had a ben, he had to marry him. And Ben is Binyan. He was Isaac, he was building. And marriage is building. It builds oneself, it builds family, it builds the world, it builds Klal Yisrael. And building is being united
dissension, that's churban, that's destruction. So therefore one must remember enormous effort must be projected in order that there should be shalom in one's house, like the Rambam brings, because kol ha-teira kula, the entire Torah was given merely la'asei shalom ba'olam. We should be zeche to see shalom in the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.